This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Kenna Now.
Members of Congress must reject confirmation of Senator Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions as U.S. Attorney General. As a known racist with a long record of opposing civil rights and equality, it is unimaginable that Sessions could be entrusted to serve as the nation's top law enforcement official. Now, leading the charge against Sessions has been the NAACP, whose members recently sat in his Mobile, Alabama office to protest the nomination, which ended when six people, including NAACP President Cornell Brooks, were arrested and face now criminal trespass charges. And we're joined by Devin Crawford, co-chair of the Alchemy in Color and a student at the University of Chicago Divinity School. Devin is the 2016 NAACP Humanity in Action Fellow and has been conducting policy research and advocacy at the NAACP's Baltimore headquarters and was one of the six arrested occupying the office of Alabama's Senator Jeffrey Sessions and grew up himself in Alabama.
Thank you for having me.
Well, why don't we start from yesterday, your experience. I know that you were there in protest at the hearings that were held on Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions. Why don't you tell us what happened and then work towards building the case that caused you also to be arrested against the confirmation as U.S. Attorney General of Jeff Sessions?
Thank you. I think yesterday represents some of the best traditions that we have in this country of dissent and civil disobedience. We were joined by five students from Howard University, two staff members from an advocacy organization called Democracy Spring, along with myself and Anthony Davis, who is the national coordinator for the NAACP Youth and College Division. All of us converged on the Russell Senate Office Building to conduct a nonviolent direct action of sit-in. And Congress and Senator Jeff Sessions' Senate office, which was literally down the hall from the caucus room where the Judiciary Committee was conducting his confirmation hearing. And the message was loud and clear. It was done in the same tradition as the Atlanta Student Movement, as the Birmingham Children's Movement of the 60s, where young people were raising their voices and making their opinions known that we will not allow a known racist, bigot, to occupy the highest law office in this land. Too much is at stake when it comes to voting rights, when it comes to criminal justice reform and immigration reform, to the point that we need a competent and a courageous Attorney General, not one who continues to play dog whistle politics and who harkens us back to a bygone era of racial bias and bigotry.
Devin, Sessions himself is trying to soften his image at this point. And liberal media is also saying, well, you know, some of the comments that were most offensive were made some years back, and words can't kill. It's just opinion differences. But he certainly would suddenly become an objective purveyor of his responsibility as what the top law enforcement official should be. How do you understand, and how do you respond to that? I mean, I'm kind of tempted to say the leopard doesn't change their spots, but your own thoughts on this.
Right. Well, you know, as a Christian minister, I fully believe in the changing of hearts and transformation. But as a U.S. citizen, particularly as a young black man, we have to come to terms with the facts of this case. And the facts are that leading up to this moment, Jeffrey Sessions, possibly in word, but certainly not in deed, has not proven his commitment to human or civil rights, being one of the foremost opponents of immigration legislation, He has not opted in to any of the bipartisan measures for criminal justice reform. So for us to have some type of belief that he's had an epiphany since his nomination, and along with, I have to note that he has been an ardent supporter of our president-elect, who has also propagated the same vitriolic language in the public square. So it would be nice to believe that there has been some type of change in their hearts and minds, but the records do not reflect such. So we have to move forward accordingly, and that is to push for the withdrawal of Senator Sessions and also to lift up nominees that are reflective of the current progressive movement in this country, who recognize that America, our legal system and our foundations of justice must only widen and broaden and not restrict themselves due to partisan politics. And so that's my response to that. It would be great to believe that there has been some radical change, but the record does not reflect.
I'm wondering also how your growing up in Alabama may have informed your now conviction that Sessions isn't fit to be confirmed for the nation's top law enforcement job. And I know that you've been kind of traversing the country recently. You've been involved in the demonstrations, I believe, in Chicago around the death by the police of Laquan McDonald. How do these issues inform your positioning on Jeffrey Sessions?
Yes, well, growing up in Birmingham, Alabama, I was surrounded by the history of courageous dissent of not only students or outside activists, but also by ministers of the church. The church, the black church particularly, has been the most long-standing institution in black communities. And it is incumbent upon all ministers who proclaim a gospel of Jesus, who was a poor, radical zealot, pushing for issues that concern the poor. It is important for us to model that same ministry. So when I moved to Atlanta for undergraduate studies, there were several cases, whether it was from Troy Davis or Michael Brown, that, you know, I felt compelled to work with other students to organize around, whether it was in Chicago, with the death of Laquan McDonald and the public unrest that surrounded that. It's important that the church, being one of the main institutions that our public invests itself in, to have a clarion voice for prophetic resistance and moral courage, and to inspire those who have a will to do but who may not have the direction. So I take much of my models of leadership from those like the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Rosa Parks, from Henry McNeil Turner, from, you know, a gambit of leaders who were critical of the issues of their time, but they were also able to project the prophetic hope that in spite of the darkness of our time, we must not fall into despair, but always push for a greater light that can overcome the darkness.
Now, one of the things that also I wonder if you can address, the issue of the NAACP, the question of Sessions' response or the issues of championing voter suppression, frankly, his issues as an opponent of legal immigration, his responses to issues of women and pay equity. I mean, all of these are part of what is under the rubric of U.S. Attorney General. Your thoughts?
Yes. I have to say that Jeff Sessions, it's really not a matter of character or being a decent human, but again, we're looking at the record. Note this: that Jeff Sessions has called the Voting Rights Act of 1965 intrusive legislation. He has gone on to endorse hate groups like the KKK, and at this critical time of our nation's history, when we have particularly in the state of Alabama, where 500,000 men and women were blocked from the polls because they were they have criminal records or because a DMV in their area was closed down, so they were not able to have access to the proper IDs. This is the type of systemic suppression that has been at best silently and at worst explicitly endorsed by Jeff Sessions. We need a moral revolution in which we can look at these issues of the day and figure out how we can support the most vulnerable instead of scapegoating them and finding ways to demonize and dehumanize them in order to lift up, I guess, a false notion of what it means to be an American. And Jeff Sessions has not proven his capacity to do such.
Devin Crawford, let's go back to yesterday. Was it your feeling that the protests were sufficient or robust enough that enough people who have joined in the call with organizations like the NAACP, who, as I said, has very much been taking the lead to assure that Jeff Sessions, Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions, who was named after, and proudly so, the Confederate presidency of and guards that name carefully, which is telling. Is it your sense that the protests were substantive enough to have an impact on the senators who will be voting on the nomination for Jeff Sessions as the chief law enforcement agent of this country?
I do believe it has had an effect. We have heard that Senator Cory Booker is breaking a long precedent in the Senate by testifying against his colleague. First time it's ever happened in a confirmation hearing for this office. We've not heard explicitly from all senators or from all congresspersons, but we have heard from their constituents who have been inspired by these actions, who are taking the risk of sitting in, some who are just conducting walk-ins that are delivering their demands to the offices of their respective congresspersons or senators. We've had people who wrote in, who've written in, who've called in. So we haven't been able to judge or assess accurately the expanse of the impact on elected officials, but we certainly know that their constituents are awake and they're alert, and they are also making their voices heard in the thousands across this country. So that gives us great hope, because after Jeff Sessions, there are also several other battles that we have to fight. And it's important that we have as diverse and as broad a coalition across this country as possible to help us in those battles. It may be more confirmation hearings for cabinet officials. It may be policy that is intrusive and invasive that erodes the human and civil rights of our citizens. So I think it's important that we continue to build, that we continue to enroll people in this fight for justice, and that they find ways that they can all give of their time and talent to push forward the movement that's been building in this country, particularly among millennials, who are some of the most savvy users of technology today.
So we're dealing with a man who has a long history of opposing civil rights enforcement, making racist comments, including about his support for the Ku Klux Klan. He's championed voter suppression. He opposes hate crime legislation, and that was very much around the opposition to the terrifying crime against Matthew Shepard, a young gay man who was tortured to death, and the hate crime legislation that grew out of it. He's opposed multiple efforts to address pay equity for women. He's a staunch opponent of legal immigration. And again, people like Devin Crawford and the NAACP, Code Pink was there yesterday, have been leading the charge to prevent Senator Sessions from becoming the chief law enforcement officer. I want to give you the final opportunity as they say, la luta continua, the struggle does continue in any event. The issues of diversity, the issues of equality, the issues of compassion, and a young, dejected and hurt African-American community of youth. Where do you see the struggle, or what Reverend Barbara would call the third reconstruction, going from here in any event?
Thank you. I think that at the base of our struggles across this country is really a recognition of the common humanity that all people share, irrespective of their station or class or nation of origin. We all share a common humanity, and it is incumbent upon all of us to support and to provide what is necessary for that humanity to thrive. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Has eloquently stated that we are all tied to an inescapable network of mutuality, tied together in a garment of destiny. I cannot be what I ought to be unless you are what you ought to be. And that fundamental recognition that our basic humanity is tied together, wed together, and we cannot move forward, black, white, Latina, Chinese, Asian, we cannot move forward unless we move together as brothers and sisters. We can go fast if we go alone, but we cannot go far if we go unless we go together. So I think that the new Reconstruction calls upon us to move beyond the artificial boundaries of race and class and station, and to find ways that we can support the educational, social, political, and economic striving of all Americans. And that's really at the base of the work of the NAACP. That's at the base of the work of organizations like the ACLU and other partner organizations, Humanity in Action, and a younger generation that is coming into its own and that is taking history by its own reins, is recognizing that and moving beyond the biases of a bygone age. So I'm hopeful. We have some very dark and trying times ahead of us, but our resolve has not been stronger, and that will only propel us into unforeseen possibilities as a millennial generation.
Devin Crawford, with people such as yourself, we will absolutely make it so. And in the words of U.S. Representative Luis Gutierrez, if you have nostalgia for the days when blacks kept quiet, gays were in the closet, immigrants were invisible, and women stayed in the kitchen, Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions is your man. Well, he sure isn't ours. Devin Crawford, thank you for joining us, and all of us, take this time, make sure that your senators know that we do not accept the confirmation of Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions as U.S. Attorney General. Devin, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Well, just like Sweet Honey in the Rock, we shall not be moved.
And now, Cornell Brooks, president and CEO of the NAACP, gives his opening remarks before the Senate Judiciary Committee during the nomination hearings of Jeffrey Sessions.
Chairman Grassley, Ranking Member Whitehouse, and esteemed senators of this committee, my name is Cornell William Brooks. I serve as president and CEO of the NAACP. I greatly appreciate the invitation to testify before you today and to express the deep concerns of the NAACP regarding the nomination of Senator Jefferson Sessions to be U.S. Attorney General. As you well know, the Attorney General is the Chief Law Enforcement Officer of the United States. Particularly for such a time as this, with racial divisions deepening, hate crimes rising from sanctuaries to schoolyards, with state-imposed, racially motivated voter suppression spreading in state legislatures, as well as being struck down in federal courts, with police-involved shootings reduced to hashtag homicides and viralized videos. It is critical that this committee closely examine Senator Sessions' entire record as a prosecutor and as a legislator to determine whether he is fit to serve as the chief enforcer of our nation's civil rights laws. Based upon a review of the record, the NAACP firmly believes that Senator Sessions is unfit to serve as Attorney General. Accordingly, we representing multiple civil rights and human rights coalitions, we urge this committee not to favorably report his nomination to the full Senate. As our written testimony details, Senator Sessions' record reveals a consistent disregard for civil and human rights of vulnerable populations, including African Americans, Latinos, women, Muslims, immigrants, the disabled, the LGBT community, and others. Further, his Senate voting record reflects a fundamental disregard for many of the Department of Justice's programs, which are vital for the protection of Americans. Senator Sessions' votes against the Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2000, 2002, 2004, 2007, and 2009, and the Violence Against Women Act in 2012 and 2013 demonstrate a disturbing lack of concern regarding violent crimes, rape, assault, murder committed against minorities and an American majority women. These crimes in particular make victims of individuals as well as the groups to which they belong and the American values we cling to. His opposition to the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act indicates a hostility to the claims of employment discrimination and more specifically to allowing legal redress for pay discrimination against women. His consistent opposition to any meaningful gun control shows an unwillingness to stand up to the firearms lobby and a lack of concern regarding the destructive impact of gun violence on our children and communities. His failure to condemn the president-elect's call for an unconscionable and unconstitutional ban on Muslim immigrants, as well as his opposition to a Senate resolution condemning a government-imposed litmus test on a global religion, evidences an unwillingness to protect the rights of the vulnerable and the unpopular, which is something an attorney general must do. His call for the reevaluation of a basic constitutional principle that persons born in this country are citizens of this country reflects a form of unconstitutional xenophobia that is fundamentally inconsistent with the duty of the Attorney General to protect the rights of all Americans. His calling into question the legitimacy of consent decrees causes us to question whether he will use this powerful tool to hold accountable police departments such as Ferguson, that engaged in predatory policing and a pattern and practice of discrimination. With his consistent support for mandatory minimums as a prosecutor and a legislator, he stands in opposition to bipartisan efforts to bring to an end this ugly era of mass incarceration, with 2.3 million Americans behind bars, with overpopulated prisons and jails and depopulated families and communities. It is Senator Sessions' record on voting rights, however, that is perhaps the most troubling. As this committee is well aware of the infamous Marion III case in which civil rights activists were prosecuted by then U.S. Attorney Sessions for voter fraud, all of whom were acquitted by a jury in less than 4 hours on 29 counts, this chilling prosecution against innocent civil rights workers who were later given gold medals by Congress painfully reverberates in the hearts of black voters in Alabama and the history of this country. Senator Sessions' record of prosecuting so-called voter fraud and both intimidating and suppressing voters then is now reflected in a legislative record of supporting voter ID requirements that suppress votes based on the myth of voter fraud today. His record of vote-suppressing prosecution is connected to a vote-suppressing legislation today. Rather than condemn, he's commended voter ID laws, like that in his own state of Alabama, affecting a half million voters, similar to laws struck down in Texas and North Carolina in the Fourth and Fifth Circuits. If we can imagine a Senator Sessions leading a Department of Justice in Michael Brown's Ferguson, Freddie Gray's Baltimore, towns with rising hate crime, communities of vulnerable populations, and a democracy divided by voter suppression in this Twitter age civil rights movement. We can imagine that. Imagining that, we must face the reality that Senator Sessions should not be our Attorney General. With that said, thank you for this opportunity to testify. I welcome your questions.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.